A Series of Murders. Written and read by Simon Brett.
Chapter 1. Now, listen, lads. We're dealing with a cold-blooded murderer who will stop at nothing.
Sergeant Clump stared belligerently over the counter of Little Breckington Police Station at the dozen constables facing him.
And that is why you've been gathered here from all corners of the county to see that his evil plans are foiled.
He leaned forward as he warmed to his task.
Now, there is only one thing that's going to defeat a criminal of such cunning, and that is...
Superior cunning, a voice from the doorway coolly interrupted. The 13 policemen turned as one to look at the newcomer. They saw a tall figure in a dark floppy hat and cloak. A monocle graced one eye. From it a dark cord snaked down to the buttonhole of an immaculately tailored suit. A pale cravat frothed at the stranger's neck. White spats gleamed above the shine of his black shoes.
"Mr. Braid," said Sergeant Clump, in a voice that combined admiration and resentment in equal parts. "I wondered when you was going to turn up. But don't you worry, sir. Everything's in hand. We shall catch this devil without needing your assistance."
"Really?"
Stanislas Braid wafted across the room and came to rest in a chair by the counter. He looked up at the sergeant. His expression was quizzical, challenging, almost insolent.
"Well, I suppose there has to be a first time for everything."
The sergeant's face contorted into frustration. He looked, as the police always should when faced by the coruscating brilliance of an amateur sleuth, baffled. They held each other's gaze for a long time. Much longer, indeed, than would have been expected in the normal course of events. Then, mercifully, a new voice released them.
"Okay, we've got that."
At the floor manager's words, the assembled policemen on the set relaxed, broke their formal stances, and turned to chatter and giggle with each other. Charles Paris eased his finger round the neck of Sergeant Clump's jacket. Uncomfortable, those pre-war high-collared uniforms, and hot under the television lights. Russell Bentley, the actor playing Stanislas Braid, shook his head with dissatisfaction. There was clearly something in the scene he hadn't felt happy with. The floor manager held up a finger, indicating that the cast should stay in position, while he listened to his earpiece for instructions from the gallery. He nodded as he took in his orders, no doubt already tactfully rephrasing the director's words. One final vigorous nod.
"Yes, we're okay on that. I got the scene. Extras won't be wanted again till after lunch. Russell, you've got a costume change."
At this signal, the dozen policemen broke ranks. Though they would rather have been called background artists than extras, they weren't going to argue. Their more immediate priority was to get to the canteen before the rush. They were a docile breed, content to spend long days over endless cups of coffee waiting for their 2 minutes of anonymous performance. Charles Paris looked at where his watch should be and remembered with annoyance that the one provided by wardrobe didn't work. His own had been thought too modern for the vaguely 30s setting of the Stanislas Braid series. Still, Charles reckoned the WET bar must be open by now. Time for a quick one, surely. Russell Bentley, however, was set to frustrate such intentions.
"Oh, come on," he complained. "We can't take that scene like that."
Everyone on the set froze truculently. The star, with the instincts of long experience in television, addressed his remarks to the one camera on whose top a red light glowed, knowing that its output could be seen in the gallery.
"It was terrible."
Though he was speaking to the camera, the reply from the director was relayed through the floor manager's earpiece.
"Rick said it was fine, Russell."
"But it wasn't. Camera 3 certainly wasn't tight enough on me at the end."
It was fine, and we are rather pushed for time,"
the floor manager assured him, bowdlerising the words that burnt in his earpiece.
"That's not the point," Russell Bentley objected. "Look, if the schedule's too tight, that's not my problem. All I know is that I've got a professional reputation, and I'm not going to have it destroyed by slapdash direction."
The floor manager's long training in keeping a straight face could not totally suppress a wince at the gallery's reaction to that. He smothered it in a conciliatory smile.
Rick says it was really great and we must move on. Just take a cutaway of my reaction,